Oh, you're the one, you're the beginning and the end. You're the all-sufficient one. So we just come to you this morning and we declare that we have ears that are open to hear from heaven. We thank you, Father. Our hearts are prepared, and you'd open our eyes to have a better understanding of the riches you've already dealt out for us so that we can continue to walk victorious in Jesus' name. And everybody got Pentecostal and shouted, I love Pentecostal. All right. The Lord put on my heart for the month of February to do a series on relationships. You know, Valentine's was last week, so that's really just a good time. And the first week, we did week one, how to deal with difficult people. Now, I'm sure you only probably have one difficult person in your life, and they're come and gone. But, you know, there's a good reason. Because we run into difficult people, and the Bible has such wisdom on how you treat them. And we also went over on how they should treat you, but until they get to that place, how do we deal with difficult people God's way? All right, we do not chuck them off the roof and run over them. So that was week one. If you are not able to be with us and you still, I think it was great. And who was, I was just telling somebody, I said, every week after, now I study like a month ahead of time and then I start typing and doing all that. But the week after I preached that, oh my gosh, I was running into more difficult people and I had to practice what I preached. So I practice what I preach. All right, so that was week one. Last week we did the title of it was, Can You Hear Me Now? And we were talking about communications in relationships. Because there's a lot of people talking, right? A lot of people talk in their relationships, but there's not a lot of people listening. So that does not make good relationships. So that was last week. Today we're going to talk about marriages, because marriages is relationships. Relationship has some marriages in it, okay? So we're going to talk about marriages. And I have to tell you, Jack and I were married for about 32 years, and we were 21 and 23 years old. We were your classic young, dumb, inexperienced. I'm telling you what, we're in love, okay? So, and it's good. You should start out in love. But because we were just not real knowledgeable about marriage. We had a lot of ups and downs and curves in the road. But I will say, we still liked each other. And you know, that's really important in a marriage, that you still like each other. And you still love each other. And they're still your friend. Y'all looking at me like, someone say amen or something. All right, all right. So, now, there's a bunch here. I know Mary Lou and Ronnie, how long have you been married? 58 years. Anybody got top that 60 years? 58. Man. Okay. Go talk to them. They're still in love. They're really cute too. All righty. But you know, I may have been only married 30 years and there's people here married longer, but it's real interesting. You talk to them and I would say, and I think they would agree, marriage is not hard, but marriage is work. It's work, all right? And I really thought we're just going to get married and it was going to be a bowl full of cherries. There was work that went to it. And listen, you know the expression, the grass is greener on the other side? Well, you know why? Somebody got out and watered it. That is why it's greener on the other side. And if you will put, you know, roll up your sleeves and say, I'm going to put some things into my marriage. I'm going to do some things right. Because obviously I've been doing some things wrong, all right? If you you work at developing that, you can have a good marriage just like the next person. But it's going to take, roll up your sleeves. It's going to take work. So the Lord put in my heart, we're going to deal today with marriages. And all marriages start out with the same thing. Oh, I love you. I love you. Love. I love you. Love, love. But they all end up in a different way. Okay? They all end up in a different way. And if I were to ask you, the person that you married way back then, are they the person you thought they are today? Now, how do I say that? It doesn't come out right. You know, Jack and I were really young and dumb. But, you know, 30 years later, I did not expect that man to be that person. They just changed. People change. And I'm not talking about your hairline or your waistline. I'm talking about they change. They change. You change. All right? Now, we should become better. You should become better. It's where you go, amen, Pastor D. Okay? But it's really interesting. I see this happen a lot in marriages. Instead of people getting better after 10 years and 20 years and 30 years, they get worse. Okay? They get worse. And I'll tell you, my parents, they were married for, I don't know how long, decades and decades. Their marriage got worse. That's what I grew up in, a home like that, because nobody wanted to work at it. They just wanted to point fingers at it, all right? And it was miserable. They were miserable until like the last 2 years. They just finally got their stuff together, all right? But people change, and you have to put some work to it, all right? So, or you're going to be miserable, and miserable is not fun. It's good for one day, and after that, it's just terrible. So we're going to talk about stages of marriage. Now, before I start, I want to talk to those people that aren't married, that they're single. And you should be saying, oh, Pastor D is going to do this thing on marriage, and I'm not married. Well, I'm not married either now, okay? And you should be going, well, yay, I'm going to take notes. I'm going to listen, because maybe someday I am going to get married. I want to get married, so I'm going to write these things down, and I'm going to save them, because your brain is not going to save everything I say. So take some notes, all right? And if I were to give you some advice from when I was married to now, the first thing, if you're single, that you need to be doing is getting your relationship really good with God. Get your relationship really strong with the Lord, because let's say you do get married. That person's got a great relationship with God, and you're just going to drag them down because you haven't done diddly-wop with your relationship? And I've seen women do this. Well, I'm going to talk about women a lot, and then we'll talk about men a lot. But I've seen women just suck the life out of their husband because they didn't bother developing their relationship. All right? But my husband, he's so strong and wise. No! Get your act together and start growing, all right? So, praise the Lord, Pastor D, you're so sweet. Okay, second thing. Now, this one, tuck your toes under your chair. The second thing you should do if you're single, you need to work on your finances. Yeah, you need to work on your finances. Okay, because they don't want you to, they love you and they're going to inherit all of you. But they really don't want to inherit your messy finances. And usually if you've got messy finances, you've got some bad habits. They got you into messy finances, all right? So if you're single, you need to be working on your finances until you get married. And the last one I tell you, you need, while you're single, you need to declutter the baggage. I saw this on Facebook, and it said, all babies are born without baggage. It's just life that accumulates them. Okay, you come into the world, you don't got no baggage. You just pop out, you're okay? But things in life happen, and how you react happens, and you start carrying around baggage. So while you're single, start going through some of the baggage, especially if you've been married before, you're divorced, and you're going to remarry. You come with baggage. It's time to work on it. Work on it before, all right? The person will go, thank you, Jesus. All right, now, so that's not my teaching, but I thought I'd dish it out a little bit if you're single. Because, you know, God wants everybody to have a great marriage. And, you know, while you're single, this was interesting. I'm kind of new at being single. And I was talking to a friend who's been a widow for a long time. And I was just kind of complaining. And she said, well, first off, don't go out with single people all the time. I go, oh. She says, hang out with couples, especially good couples that love each other. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. And you can learn a few things, all right? So if you're single, have different types of friends. Amen. All right, I'm officially hot. You all warmed up. Anybody want my jacket because you're all complaining you're cold? Oh, I get so hot in this place. All right, here we go. So we're going to talk about stages of marriage. Okay, the first stage, you see a piece of paper up here? First page. first stage. Most people really like this first stage. Okay, they really like that. Lane, you want to whip that picture up there and leave it up there. They really like it. They're like, oh, marriage is just so great. I love being married. Okay, how many of you know couples like that? They're just, oh, gosh, marriage is wonderful. Oh, you newlyweds should have put your hand up. You should be, come on, God, I'm telling you. All right, now, if you're older, you're looking at those young ones and saying, yeah, yeah, wait till reality hits, you know. Okay, so stage one, we're going to call it the happy honeymoon. The happy honeymooners. And I thought, remember that TV show, The Honeymooners? That was not the happy honeymooners. Okay, so we're not talking about, what's his name? Jackie Gleason? Not that one. Okay, yeah, that's how young I am. Hallelujah. It was still black and white. Dear Jesus. It was still black and white back then. All right, so the first stage is called the happy honeymooners. So I want to read out of Song of Solomon to you. Now, Song of Solomon is kind of an interesting book. I'll just leave it like that. All right, and it's halfway through your Bible. It goes Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So cute, S-O-S, Song of Solomon. And this is Solomon who's writing it. He's writing it about this woman that he loves. It's about marriage. It's just really about two people that are in love and infatuated. So here we go. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, 1 through 4. I am a rose like a... crack up every time I do this. I can do this. I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley. Like a lily among the thorns is my darling among young men, women. I can't even read this because I'm like, who talks like this? I'm telling you, Hallmark doesn't even write cards like this. I am sure none of you guys have ever written like this, huh? Have you ever written anything like that? Okay, well, let's keep going. I can get it together. I can do it. Okay, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in the shade, and his fruit is sweet to taste. No interpretation here. Let him lead me to the banquet hall. Let his banner over me be love. Okay, I'm so glad I did this. All right, done. All right, wasn't that awesome? Oh, gosh, all right, you just love that. Woo! But, you know, all scholars say this is about two people that are just madly in love. So really, this is sort of the stage of the happy honeymooners. They're just madly in love, all right? Now, what I'm going to do, and you can see, I'm going to give you some words that I picked out that describes this first stage of marriage. Do you see those words? A to E, all right? So we're going to describe them. Now, if you're a newly young wed person, I might be describing some of you. If you're an older person, you might go, I vaguely remember some of this, okay? I vaguely remember this. So, number one, intensity. That means they are very focused on each other, actually really spellbound, okay? Now, I remember this, man, like yesterday. Only thing is about 20 decades ago, there was a newlywed couple in our church, and I was actually sitting in the back, and they were sitting in front of me. They hadn't been married but about 2 months, and she is just staring at her newlywed husband all through worship and the service, the preaching, and she's got her hand in his hair and rubbing down his back. I'm just freaking out after a while. I was like, okay. Spellbound. Anybody remember being spellbound by your newlywed mate, right? Spellbound? Okay. Or this is kind of typical of them. They're just together and somebody can walk in the room and say hi and they just, you know, they're just so focused. They're not on the right planet. They're on a good planet, all right? And really, there's nothing the matter with that. Matter of fact, that's really good. That's really good. So there's such an intensity in their love. All right. Next one. What's it say? Okay. There's sort of this idealism about them that's going on. Like they totally, now get this, disregard each other's differences and faults. I remember thinking, he could do no wrong. He's just wonderful. Uh-huh. And then, you know, a couple years go by, right? And I know everything and every fault. But in the beginning, they're just disregard all their idiosyncrasies and their faults, all right? Now, wouldn't it be great if all marriages stayed in that part where you just weren't ruffled by the things that they do? All right, Do you know what all Cashman men do in my house? They blow their nose in the shower. And I took about a month, and I was, yeah. And I was like, I was over that intensity thing there. I was like, God, it's so gross. And their answer is, well, it goes down the drain. I was like, yeah, but I clean in there. I get in there. Okay. All right. Number three. What's number three? Or the ABC? C. Indulgence. Okay. You know, I like this one because when you're first, that happy honeymoon, there's a lot of giving. Giving in and giving up. All right? Because you're newlywed. You just love to give to one another. All right? Now, I remember first year we were married. We were up at Penn State, and I would just love to get home and cook dinner for Jack. Oh, gosh, you know, I had about 7 recipes I could master. It was really good. But I was just like, oh, good, I gotta get home. I gotta cook. The second year, we went out to Tulsa, and I'm teaching. And Jack's going to Bible school out there to Rhema, and he worked the first couple months. I don't think he worked. But then he got a job in a warehouse. But he would get home before I did. And he'd be sitting there reading his Bible, just praying, hush, under the baba. And he'd tell me all these great things. He'd be waiting for me to cook dinner. So I said, I think you can cook dinner. And you know what he said? Oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. Just give to me because he loved me so much. All right? So there's this give, give in, give up. All right? So it's really good. Now, some people say, you know, that giving in marriage, it's a bunch of wimpy men do that. You know, women, they're supposed to do the cooking. Oh, no. Oh, no. You know, you want to sleep on the sofa. You're going to learn to give in, and give up stuff. And you're going to have a good marriage. You're going to communicate, and you're going to talk to one another. Okay. Amen. Pastor D, let's go to the next one. Everybody's looking at the next one. Okay. Infatuation. This one, infatuation, is because of the first three above it. Okay. Now, this is when their attitude is, everything is great. You know those honeymoon, happy honeymooners, everything's great. Oh, marriage is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. Oh, my gosh. All right? Infatuation. And now you know they have that attitude because they've just been married. Yeah, they've just been married. That's why that. But, you know, when you're married 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you're thinking, what did I get myself into? All right. Somehow that infatuation just fizzles, all right? But infatuation is, oh, man, the married life is just so wonderful. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Yay, Pastor D. Last one, ignorance. Okay, the reason why I wrote this is you don't know each other yet. You think you know, oh, they're just wonderful. I know everything about. No, you don't. You don't know nothing about them, really. You just only know how to date them, make out with them, you know, okay. Because you're newlyweds, right? Okay, but it's really interesting. At that stage of being ignorant, I see a lot of young couples that actually get married because they're in love with the idea. You know what Hollywood portrays, the movies. They're in love with the idea versus marriage. Because if someone would have told you, you have to put some work to it. Oh, no, he's just so wonderful and perfect. She's just beautiful. No, you have to put some work in it. And you're actually in the ignorance stage, but you're happy. I was so happy. I loved being intensity, idealism, indulgence, infatuation, anger. I love that. All right? I love that. So let's move on to stage two. Now, this is really interesting. Stage two in marriage. Lane, you want to pop this up here. Stage two, we're going to call it the party's over. The party's over. Now, what you can see is that's a married couple there that, you know, a while ago, they were the happy honeymooners, but the party's over and they got some intense things going on, right? One's on one end of the sofa, the other one's on the other sofa, the end of the sofa, okay? You can tell things aren't going so well, right? Right? So I'm going to give you some words that describe the party's over. Now, I know there's a lot of you, you've been married 5 years and 10 years, and you're still in that other stage. That's really good. But I know there's also people here, and you're over here. All right? And if you hang with me till we get to stage three, I'm going to tell you how to have a better marriage according to God. All right? So hang in there. All right. The party over. Here we go. Number one, dullness. You're back to the routine. Boredom sets in. You're losing interest with each other. Now, this usually, when this usually happens, all of a sudden, work becomes really important to you. Yet, when you're in high school, you hated to work. But now, you got this dullness going in, and all you don't want to do is work. You don't want to come home. All right? And you know what happens is you start having separate lives. Separate lives. You start going your way and they go their ways because of this dullness here. And oftentimes, this is when an affair pops in. And let me tell you how it happens. You go to work and you... So I'm going to say guys, okay? But girls, I probably know more girls that do this, but I'm going to do this. The guy goes, oh, man, did you see... Susie Q, she comes to work every day dressed so cute. She's just always so happy. My gosh, she looks like $1 million. My wife, she never looks like that in the morning. Oh, she is just so smart and intelligent and beautiful, Susie Q. Listen, you go marry Susie Q, guess what? You're going to wake up in the morning and she's going to look like not good. All right? You need a reality check. And it might have taken her an hour to get to work looking like that, okay? And, you know, listen, the Bible has a lot to say about how you treat your spouse. The Bible has a lot to say on how you treat them, such as how you treat your spouse is how they're going to respond to you. How you treat them is how they're going to respond to you. Now, if you treat your wife kindly, they're gonna be nice to you. Okay, some of you are going, yeah, you don't know my wife. Just hang in there. Hang in there. Okay. If you treat your wife, you're mean and you're sharp with them, they're going to be sharp with you. All right? I know. I practice a lot of this. Okay? If you're kind, you love them, they'll treat you back the same way. All right. So what's the next one? Disagreements. Let's move on because I want to get to the best part here. All right. All of a sudden, disagreements start happening and you start clashing over the most ridiculous little things. You know, what's the big joke, the way they squeeze the toilet, the toothpaste, right? All right. Potty seats up, potty seats down. We just start fighting over all these ridiculously dumb little things, all right? So all of a sudden, then, you're not talking to each other. Then, you start keeping everything inside. Then, this is where trouble comes, right? You start doing that. And you're going to have a lot of troubles when you're not communicating, when you shut down just because of this disagreement and this disagreement, and you start keeping score. Boy, it's just going to get ugly. I guarantee. Ugly, ugly, ugly. Okay, number three, defensive. All right, all of a sudden you become defensive. You try to protect yourself, and your communication starts breaking down. And, you know, listen, there is nothing worse to come home and... so-and-so is not talking to you. How's your day? Fine. What'd you do? Nothing. And that's it. All right? Everything's fine. All right? And then instead of, you know, oh, I used to love to come home and talk to him. All right? And that's when you've got disagreements and you're all defensive. Number four, disapproval. All of a sudden, disapproval start. Nothing you do is right. Everything you do is wrong. Nothing you do is right. And then you start nagging. Matter of fact, nag becomes your norm. All right? Let's turn over to Proverbs. I want to give you this scripture. It really describes everything about the party's over, but especially this one. All right? Proverbs 27. Y'all got that? Or they got that. They'll get that. Proverbs 27. This really deals with all of stage two, but this particular one. Okay. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with a hand. Let's go back to the 15. A quarrelsome wife is like the dripping of a leaky roof in a rainstorm. How many of you ever laid down to sleep at night and you heard that faucet dripping? Now, that faucet, I never heard all during the day, but that night, well, I got all these babies tucked in, and I'm exhausted, and I'm hearing this thing drip. So what do you do? Yeah. I just turn water off. That's in underneath. All right. By the way, the girls potty in there. Don't go in there. I had to turn it off underneath. Okay, we have a mess. All right. So let's put it this way. So you get up right away and you turn off the faucet. Now, most of you, raise your hand if you'd like to have a disagreement, quarrelsome, fighting wife. No, nobody wants to have that. Nobody wants to have a wife that's always fighting with you. You say one thing and they start a fight. Nobody wants to do that. But can I tell you something? Women, get ready. This is where you're going to shout, amen. Okay? And ushers will escort me out quickly. All right. But this is what I found out in marriages. Most women who end up that quarrelsome, always fighting, it's because a man didn't treat them right. One amen. Okay. It's because the husband wasn't treating them. Listen, God made women to be your helpmate. God made women to be your helpmate. God made women to be responders to love. They respond to love. They respond to love, okay? God made them that way. So you start trying to learn, and I'm telling you, it's a trying to learn how to love your wife. They'll respond to that. Now, years ago, Jack used to say, Dee, I think you're more male hormone than female hormone. He was this real emotional person. And I'm like, you done? Okay. So he would try to treat me and love me in certain ways, and it wasn't working. So then, Five Languages of Love by what? Harry Chapman? Chapman? What's the song? That's a Harry Chapman. It wasn't Gary Small. Chapman. It wasn't Harry. Okay. It's still a great book. They wrote one, Five Languages of Love for Teens, Five Languages for Marriages. And we read that book, and I'm like, I am this person. And you are trying to do this language of love, and it's not working. Okay? So go get that book. It is great. And I was like, okay, we started doing it. I was learning Jack's language, and Jack was learning my language. Okay, number one, don't give me a Hallmark card. That is not my language. Don't buy me flowers unless it's a real live bush and you dig the hole. That's my language, okay? Acts of service. Just do stuff for me, all right? My husband, he's more girl. I was like, really, I have to say all that? Okay. Okay, so husbands, treat your wife with love and they'll respond. And actually, we kind of got a thing going. Man, we respond. We got the responding going because he was treating me the way I would hear and love. And I was treating him the way he needed to be treated and loved. And we had a good thing going, all right? So why did you get married? I'm waiting because you love the person. Okay, let me tell you a side story. I'm not lost. I'm going there. So I was watching Facebook, and somebody threw up this YouTube thing. It's a couple that she's dressed with Muslim or Indian, you know, the whole garb on, and he's sitting there next to her, and it's their wedding. Did you see this one? Crack me up. And this is their wedding, and they're sitting like this. So some lady stands behind them. You don't know if it's her mother or grandma or the photographer, because it's a lady. And she picks the girl's hand up, puts it on his lap, and she goes, I thought, you didn't even get the happy honeymoon stage. You are already in the party's over. Whoa. But most of you got married and you loved it. You said, I love. You'd look at each other. Oh, my gosh, it's great. All right, so remember. Love them. All right. Last one, disappointments. Hallelujah. This begins to set in when you think, man, you did something wrong. I think I married the wrong one. I feel trapped. All right. And it's all this. And you know, you start doubting. And I'm telling you, there isn't a person that's been married 5 years, 10 years, 20 years that you haven't had a whole bucket load of arguments and you, what you started out. My mother was right. I shouldn't have married him. I picked the wrong one. All right, those doubts come in. But listen, you know why those doubts come in? It's usually because we haven't learned how to treat that person the way God planned that. All right? And things are going bad and it's going south quick. But it's usually because I didn't know nothing about marriage. We had 3 marriage counselors. No, I think we had 2. One, they talked about finances, and one, they talked about sex. Well, that was great. That takes care of the first week. All right? We didn't know what we were doing when we got into marriage. We did not know what we were doing. All right? So I said all of that. Stage 1 and 2, some was funny. Some of you are going, oh, God, she read my nail. But I want to talk about the last stage. This is really where I'm going. This one's called mature love. Mature love. And on the back of your paper, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 13, okay? I printed it out because it was just too much for them, all right? But listen, mature love can be anybody at any age. You've been married one day, you've been married 6 days. You've been married 60 years. You can have mature love. It's your decision. You can have mature love, but it's your decision, all right? So, 1 Corinthians 13, here we go. Where's my paper? I'm reading out of the Amplified. Anybody familiar with the Amplified Bible? It's a little wordy, but there's some really good words in here. And most of you, like a lot of times I read this at a wedding. It's just really familiar. Here we go. Verse 4. Love, underline the word, endures. Love endures long, is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful, vainglorious. It doesn't display itself haughtily. You ought to look up all those words. But also, let me tell you something. You get 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. You get that so you know it. I mean, you know it. So every day you go, I am patient. I am kind. I do not boil over with jealousy. You get that, so that becomes you. So when things go wham, you go, nope, I am patient. I am kind. I do not blow up, act haughtily or bad, okay? So I'm just going to give you I've learned this. I've learned 1 Corinthians 13. I just sometimes start your day. Some of you are going to have to do it beginning, lunch, dinner, all right? But get this in you, all right? That was free. Verse 5, here we go. It is not conceited, arrogant, inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly. It does not act unbecomingly. Now, that is such a nice thing to say. You're not acting becomingly. No, I could tell you another word. Okay, it doesn't act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us. This is what's in you guys. The day, Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. The day you received Jesus Christ, he swapped out things and he put his love in you. So God's love in you is able to do this. God's love will do this. You just have to choose to do this, all right? All right, so where am I? Love. God's love in us does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy, fretful, resentful. It takes no account, score sheet, of evil done to it, and it pays no attention, score sheet, to a suffered wrong. Hallelujah. It does not rejoice in, let's say the rest of that. Listen. Do you see how many things we fall out of God's love there? Do you see? You get an F on the scorecard, okay? You start getting touchy. You fell out of the love of God. You fell out of it. You start self-seeking. I want my way. You fall out of the love of God. Now, the love of God is there. You just choose to go that way, all right? So, let's read verse 6 and 7. It does not rejoice in injustice, unrighteousness, but rejoices when truth prevails. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best. of your spouse, of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Isn't that great? Love never fails. Now, so what this is saying, you get two people, no matter how young they are in their marriage, how old they are in their marriage, and that you get them to focus on this mature love, it will change your marriage. You get them to focus, it'll change their marriage. So let me give you some words to describe it. Number one, endure. Everybody say, my love endures. All right. Now, some of you are like, yeah, I'm enduring this marriage. No, 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 I'm not talking about that. Okay? That's not the kind of endure. Okay? You endure the long commitment. And that means when problems come, anybody have some problems in your marriage? Shh, we can write volumes. Okay? Love endures that. Love doesn't trash it. Love endures that, all right? Mature love endures and doesn't give up. Number two, patience. Everybody say, I will be patient. How many of you are glad that God is patient with you? Man, I could be on the chopping block so often. But you know what? You need to know that the Father God is patient, and he's patient with you. Thank you. Okay? He's patient with you, and he's patient. So therefore, you need to be patient with others. You should have that same characteristic flowing out of you. Mature love is patient with others. Okay, say, I'm going to be patient. Number three, bears up. My love bears up. Now read verse 7 again. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Love bears up under everything and anything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Oh, my gosh. All right. Now, wimps can't walk in God's love because wimpy people crumble and quit. If you're going to walk in love of God, you are going to bear up. Sometimes I'd like to say suck it up. Okay? But you're going to bear up. So when your husband's acting all crazy or your wife's got hormones that are just taking it all over, so what? Bear up. Because you can, because you've got this love of God in you. All right? Love bears up. Number four, love believes the best. Now, how many of you know that you're not pretty all the time? You don't act pretty all the time. Anybody know that? All right? Okay. But listen, love believes the best. Better yet, love believes in them. Jack and I used to kid around with him. I say, honey, I got the pick of the litter and the cream of the crop. You're the best and I got you. And he just laugh. Oh, honey, you're the cream of the crop and I picked you. You're the best. You know what that did? Just built him up. Just built him up. All right? Built him up. So when you have words, when you believe in somebody, you need to tell them. It's real easy to tell them everything they're doing wrong. I can't believe you didn't put this. I can't believe you didn't that. Well, you keep doing that, you're going to have that. All right? But listen, tell your spouse, I believe in you. Tell them, you're the best dad. You're such a good provider. Tell your wife, you are the best mom. It just melts my heart what all that you do for our kids. Tell them they're the best. Tell your kids they're their best, the best, all right? And guess what? You know what it does? I'll start believing that. I'll start acting like that. I'll start becoming all God called me to be. Because love believes the best. Now, I'm telling you, it's hard to believe the best some days when it just, nothing looks good. Well, then you go back to, you got the cutest little toenails, honey. I just love that. Find anything, all right, and tell them, I believe in you. How about this? Send them a text message. You know, they've had hell on earth at work. It's inventory time. the boss is just making him work late, and you just text him, honey, I'm so proud of you. You're the best. I love you. Send the text message. And you know what? They're like, eh, I got the woman waiting for me when I get home. We can do this. All right. But you need to say they're the best. You need to believe that. You need to say they're the best, and they will become that. Love believes the best. Amen. Good preaching, Pastor D. All right. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. Last one. Hope. Okay, this is one of my favorites. You need to be a dealer of hope. You need to deal out hope. Okay? Have you ever been in a difficult situation and it's just going and it's just wearing you out? It's wearing you down. All right? And your spouse says, honey, it's okay. We're going to get through this. Don't worry. We're going to come out okay. I have two good friends. One of them, Diane Siegel, she's out in San Diego with her kids. I have made this phone call to her for 25 years. My kid is dying. I call her up all the time. She goes, oh, Dee, it's going to be okay. Don't you worry. Okay. Somebody tells you it's going to be okay. Somebody tells you we're going to get through this. It's not going to last forever. And you know what happens? Silly comment. I mean, I wait for Diane to say, Dee, it's going to be okay. Your kid's going to be okay. This problem's going to be okay. You know, right away, she has built hope into me. And I still can't see a dang thing change. But hope got birthed on the inside of me. Hope, again, that I'm not going to lose. I'm going to get through this. So you need to be a dealer of hope. You need to deal out hope. Listen, I say that about you all the time. Father God, I just thank you for everybody in our congregation. I thank you, Father, that I see greatness in them. I see them doing great things for you, Lord. I see great marriages, Father. I see their finances turning around. And they may have some symptoms on their body, but Father, I declare that their bodies are made whole and this is just something they're walking through. All right. I say this about you all the time behind your back. And I mean it, okay? But you're a spouse, and you are the one that needs to put hope back in your spouse. Like, don't worry, we can do this together, all right? You need to build hope in people. And it's not just your spouse. There's a world out there, and you can tell by their body language. They are beat down, and they're hopeless. And you get to deal out the hope of Almighty God. You get to put hope back in them. And sometimes it's just really simple, like, hey, have a good day. Oh, okay. You just put hope back in them. And that wasn't hard. It wasn't a prophetic word, all right? All right. God so loved us that when we were lost and so far away, that he would love us. And he would put his life into us. And he would give us a place back again with him. How could you not tell somebody? Put hope back in it. So let me say this about, and we're going to close here. Marriage is, some people go, oh, marriage is hard. It is not hard, guys. It's just work. It's just work. And after a while, you kind of master a few things. Like that five languages of love. I was like, man, I should have read that on before we got married. All right. And then, okay, so then we're getting better at that. But then there's more things that come up, right? Oh my gosh. All right. But love never fails. God doesn't fail on you. Don't fail on your spouse. Now, you can go for a drive around the block a couple times and then come on back. And then we're going to get down to business and we're going to keep loving. The world is looking and you carry a light. You carry a light. Amen. I asked Ronnie and Mary Lou, if you were to tell people just one good thing or one sentence in some what you've learned about marriage or something you'd put inside of a young couple, you said, what would you tell?
I said something different to you than just came to me.
Okay, good, good.
Love is a decision.
Love is a decision. They've been married how many years again? 58. I think you could write that one down. Love is a decision. I also wanted somebody else, I'm going to steal it, said love is not a sprint. It's a marathon, right? So you just keep running. And there's a pace to it. Marathon runners, they just got this pace going. They're cool, all right? All right. Who else has been married? Tom and Martha, how many years have you all been married? 53. If you were to give a golden nugget to all these youngins, what would you say? God first. Not job, not football, not your kids. Oh, my gosh, women do this really bad. All right? Anybody else? Nancy, how many of you guys? 40? 40? Huh? 43. You got a golden nugget you tell them? Forgive. I'm looking around. Who's my oldies? Anybody in the 50s? I've been married 50 years? Dave. That's right. Diane's not here. Let's talk about her. What golden nugget would you tell people about marriage? Commitment. Amen. That's that enduring thing. We're in it, baby. Yep, unbreakable. That's good. Amen. I remember a pastor saying during marriage counseling, not to me, but he was sharing about marriage counseling. He said, take the D word out of there. You're never allowed to say the D word. Divorce. It just doesn't, there's not a word that exists. You are committed. Amen. George, how many years have you and Kathy been married? Where'd she go? She's downstairs. Oh, that long. Don't tell Kathy. He doesn't know. Golden nugget you tell somebody. Golden nugget. Say that again. Love through it. Yep. Amen. Praise God. Well, let's bow your heads. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are love. You continue to love. And then you've placed your love in us. I thank you that you don't fail. And when we stay in you, we cannot fail. I thank you, Father, for marriages. You breathe hope back in them today. And they choose and make a decision just to walk with you and love bigger. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my favorite second part. Everybody's eyes closed. If you're here today and you don't know.